buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, you know I love to complain about the weather. And
but now, you haven't had much to complain about lately.
Well, you know, it's almost 90 degrees.
Oh, now here you're complaining about 90 degrees.
Well, the record high is like 91 all-time high. So, I mean, it's supposed to be 80.
For this date, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be about, in fact, 80 is the
So we're going to be nudging the record high.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I have to have something to complain about when it comes to the weather. The Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio on this Friday, November the 5th. 2021. We are on 1030 Tucson's trusted source for news talk. The call letters are KVOI, The Voice. And at the end of this year, we will close out 11 years and start our 12th year on the radio in January after 22 years at Channel 6 on Arizona Illustrated. So we're really racking up the years, aren't we, Jim Nitzel?
Reeling in the years.
You believe it? We have our worldwide live listening podcast and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Jim Nitzel is in studio with me, senior editor from the Tucson Weekly. And Jim, Friday we do a media shout out to people like yourself who have been very supportive of my work since we launched into the radio. So I want to thank you and the Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including you've got Inside Tucson Business, of course, the Tucson Weekly's the flagship, right?
I like to think so.
But. Yeah. Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Did I miss anything?
I our occasional special publications, but that's about the extent of my empire at this
point. Yeah, it is. It's an empire, and can I say growing or stable?
We're growing from where the low point of COVID was, for sure.
All right, our Friday Focus interview today, Democrat Kevin Dahl, who is the Tucson's newest city council member after winning nearly 58% of the votes counted in Ward 3. Councilman-elect Dahl is a conservationist who serves as senior Arizona program manager at the National Parks Conservation Association. He's the former leader of Native Seed Search and Tucson Audubon Society. Kevin, I think I first met you a long time ago at maybe Native Seed Search. That was like 25 years ago.
Do we have to have exact numbers?
No, we don't.
But it was on television back then.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. We talked to you on television on Native Seed Search and your role at Tucson Audubon Society, two groups dedicated to environmental protection. Kevin Dahl replaces Karen Ulick. Karen was appointed to replace Councilman Paul Durham earlier this year following Mr. Durham's resignation. All right, Kevin, congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
You won quite handily. And now, what do you put? You know, we know the climate change has been your kind of marquee issue. It's at the top of the agenda. But some might be saying, well, yeah, it's important, but look at the roads, look at the situation with law enforcement. How do you put all of this, Kevin, into perspective?
Well, I think my new job is going to be a juggling act, which I've done in lots of my jobs. There's lots of issues affecting native seeds. There's lots of birds and bird habitat to be protected. Climate change connects a lot of issues. It affects people who live in poverty more than it affects people who have no problems seeing their air conditioning bill drive up the utilities. I talked to a lot of people. We knocked on 13,000 doors. We did mailings. We did text banking. We phoned tens of thousands of people. And the response was pretty positive. Like, yeah, let's do something about climate change. I'm tired of hearing about it. It's in the newspaper every day. It's on television every day. The old adage, think globally, act locally. We have to act locally. You know, it didn't hurt my campaign, except that it was hard to walk last June when it was so hot. And even today, you know, you brought up the weather as a typical topic. It's
10 hot. 10 degrees above normal.
Yeah. And what if that's
the new normal?
Right. And there's actions we can take. Tucson is a big enterprise. We can reduce our carbon releases, and we can do things to mitigate and adapt and protect people. And so I woke up this morning excited thinking about that, that we can dig into that. There are potholes. There are problems with people who are currently without a house. There is a great need for affordable housing. We have public safety issues. And in my campaign, I had to address all those. It's not that I was accused of being a single issue candidate, and I'm not. I've lived in the ward for 38 years. My wife is currently president of our neighborhood association and has been for 8 years. And before that, I was the treasurer. We've worked on lots of local issues.
What neighborhood is that?
It's Samos. It's the northwest quadrant of Campbell and Grant.
Hmm.
In another world, it would be called Sal Point Neighborhood Association. And okay. we like Sal Point, but when decades ago when it was founded, Sal Point and the neighbors weren't getting along.
All right, Kevin, let's bring Jim Nintzel into the conversation. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Kevin, you mentioned there are some things we can do about climate change. And I'm wondering, two or three of the top things that you think the city of Tucson could be doing to reduce greenhouse gases or lowering our carbon footprint or what have you.
The biggest sector that's producing carbon gases in Tucson is transportation. So anything we can do in transportation to stop using fossil fuels, whether that's making buses electric, that might be a small portion of it, helping people get into electric cars, making that the new norm, making it easier and safer for pedestrians and bicyclists. You know, in our recent accident of the county administrator, just goes to show, you know, dedicated bike lanes rather than the edge of a road is much safer for people who are commuting on their bicycle. We're a world-class bicycling area. Let's invest in that, and it's a healthy way to get around. Let's make sure that it's easy to ride the buses. Let's keep them free. Let's make them run more often. We need to find funds for that. Let's make sure that the bus stops are places where you can wait for a bus and you're not being broiled to death in the summer. If we're going to plant 1 million trees, which we should, let's plant them around the bus shelters and have shaded corridors from bus stops to apartments and other places where people live. As an enterprise, Tucson has a lot of buildings that need to be electrified in their heating and cooling. There's so many details. I'm not going to get any more wonky, but okay. I'm very excited about it.
Jim, I think, though, Jim and Councilman-elect, I think a lot of people would say we have a crisis in the situation with law enforcement. We have a mandate on vaccines and the police. We could lose some more police, probably will. Do you think it is a crisis that we have in law enforcement? We've got a homicide rate that has set a record this year. I know climate change is important, but there are people, and I'm sure you've heard this, who believe we've got to address the law enforcement issue first. What do you say to those people?
I say that I have a very nuanced understanding of the situation because I've heard from people on extreme sides. I've talked to people in Ward 3 who want to abolish the police department. I've talked to people who are so upset that the police don't respond in time.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to experts who say that our police force is about 80% of what it should be in funding and number of police officers.
Right.
And I think I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to recognize that Black Lives Matters and the concern about police violence and inappropriate situations and unfortunate tragic situations is real and needs to be addressed. And there's ways to address it. But tying the hands of the police and our public safety officers is not the way to do it. The vaccination thing, I'm so pro-vaccinations. My wife recently had breakthrough COVID, and if she had not been vaccinated, I would have lost my wife. And did she get it from someone who was unvaccinated? Probably. Why not get everybody vaccinated? On the other hand, city of Tucson does have contracts with public service workers, including the police and the fire departments, which may have been violated by the mandate without first consulting. So as someone who really supports labor, I think that might have been a misstep, and we could have been farther along if that first step had been taken. So I basically support police with some reform, and I want to recognize that Chief Magnus and the current police leadership has done quite a bit of reform, and is known throughout the nation as being a department that takes the concerns that the public has addressed seriously.
Let me follow up on, before I throw it over to Jim, about Chief Magnus, who looks like he's now all but assured of moving on. Would you like to see, we do have some top leadership that have kind of been filling in. We've had a couple of them on this program, and I've been very impressed. Would you like to see internal search on the police chief?
That should absolutely be included. It may not preclude doing a national search at the same time, but I too have heard that there's really good leadership in town.
So you're very open to that.
Yes.
Jim?
I want to, you know, you've touched on transportation, and I want to ask you about a big question coming up, which is the Regional Transportation Authority is going to run out here in 2026, I think.
It is 2026, less than
the 20-year
yeah.
from its first passing in 2006. A lot of controversy about renewing it and what it should look like. And it seems like City of Tucson wants to have more power over the votes and because of the population levels. That isn't sitting well, I think, with the smaller communities. They all feel like everyone should stick with what we now have, which is the one vote thing. And I'm just wondering, do you think the era of regional cooperation on this kind of thing is coming to an end?
Well, I certainly hope not. But with the last RTA, Tucson seems to have gotten the short end of the stick. A lot of the big projects were to widen roads through our communities so that there could be traffic, while feeder streets and neighborhood streets, you know, were crumbling. There was no money for maintenance, and that was quite an oversight. And there was provisions that couldn't allow for flexibility. You know, it was based on transportation planning from 20 years ago. And when the projected need wasn't there, they still wanted to widen the streets. I think Tucson should have a representational power, and there's several different ways that that might happen. And I think we need to include in a future bond issue, and it can be regional, the other aspects of transportation, including pedestrian safety, bicycle safety, and public transit. You know, transportation is not just cars. People get away around in lots of different ways, and in some cities, it's much more convenient to get around without a car. People who can't afford a car are hindered, you know, are hampered here in getting to their jobs. So those are issues that need to be addressed. I love cooperation. In my career, that's the only way we've gotten conservation done. For instance, the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan was cooperated with everybody. So I'm open to cooperation.
How do you get the other communities to sign on if they feel like Tucson's going to be in control of the whole thing, though?
Well, if it serves their purpose, why wouldn't they sign on?
Well, I think because they feel like Tucson would be the 800-pound gorilla and not really serve their interests. I mean, I think that would be the concern. And if you look at the communities in Marana and Oro Valley, their transportation needs are much lower.
That's right.
They've done, a better job of maintaining their streets, of not having the same kind of pothole problems that you have within the city, the urban center. So, I mean, it seems to me they could walk away and say, well, we'll just do our own thing. And that, I guess, that leaves the city in a position to perhaps do their own sales tax and not, and then the Regional Transportation Authority just goes away.
Yeah. And the fact that the streets are so good in Oro Valley and Marana has been a talking point that I've heard from people who are concerned about the health of their car, about the maintenance of their car driving on the street in front of their house. So as someone representing Tucson, I think it's important for me to represent the interests of people who live in Tucson and their transportation needs. If we can work together and on some aspects of transportation that serves all of the community, all of Pima County, great. But it seems like we were the cash cow that helped produce great streets in Marana and Oro Valley, or allowed them to use funding that because they were the benefits of the RTA funding.
Well, sure, but also, I mean, the RTA gave tremendous amounts of money to the bus system, for example, and allowed expansion of that, which, you know, you probably don't see a lot of people from Oro Valley or Marana depending on that bus system the way that citizens of Tucson do. So,
good point, Jim. But I don't think it influences my concern that Tucson needs to drive the bus for Tucson's transportation needs.
So it makes more sense maybe for Tucson to go alone then and not be part of a regional.
Maybe not. You know, and I haven't been part of the negotiations. You know, I'm the newbie in this area. But from a principled place and from the concerns that I've heard from the voters, going alone might be one possibility. It means our negotiation point of view is stronger. But let's talk about it and see if we can come up with a cooperative RTA plan that serves the needs of everybody. And to do that, Tucson has to have more than one vote. And there's different ways of doing that. But our needs are very great. And our funding sources is much bigger than the rest of the
country. All right, let's hold that thought right here, Kevin Dahl and Jim Nintzel. Kevin, are you getting excited about Thanksgiving?
Is that a holiday that's coming up? Yes, it is.
What? It's less than 3 weeks away, and our great sponsor, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringles, getting all jazzed up, and they should for Thanksgiving. Kevin, when it comes to the choice of which pie you
pumpkin.
Would prefer. There you go.
Pumpkin.
You're strong with a pumpkin pie. Jim Nintzel.
I'm going to go with squash.
Squash
the native. I'm going to go
squash.
With the native seeds.
Oh, a native.
You know what, Jim? Pumpkin and squash is the same animal, the same plant.
It is. Yes,
But thanks for making it.
I'm just trying to make sure we're respecting the native, native seeds.
Certainly Chief Baker and owner Steve up at Mona's can do and does do a fantastic pumpkin pie. I think I could go with a piece of pumpkin pie right now, actually. Mona's is open for lunch right now. They'll do breakfast, of course. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. Breakfast begins at 6:30. Mona's DanishBakery.com is the website. And again, put your start thinking about your pie order, your particular bread that you would like, the dinner rolls on the table, and then make a call or go on the website and let Steve know, and they'll have everything ready for you. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Kevin Dahl is our Friday Focus interview. Kevin, newly elected to the Tucson City Council this week. Jim Nintzel, senior editor from the Tucson Weekly, and Rick Grinnell, who at one time threw his hat into the ring as a candidate, a Republican candidate for Tucson mayor, joins us on the live line with a question or comment for Councilman-elect Dahl. Go ahead, Rick.
All right, good afternoon. Your discussion about the city wanting more than one vote, the city would, in my opinion, in negotiations for the next RTA bill, you'd be better off making sure that the citizens of Tucson in advance get commitments from the other jurisdictions and also priority on projects. A lot of the projects that have come to RTA have been put on the for Tucson were farther back in the deal. And it's important that we put these things at the front end of the deal so people can see that their money's being appreciated.
I apologize. Thank you.
And more important, it also, that sense of cooperation that you want, you position yourself in a better argument. Rather than just saying, taking your ball and go home, you're saying, listen, we want to participate, but here's some of the things that are important to us, and we want to see these issues addressed early and often and up front.
Rick, I don't disagree with you. That was one of the problems, is the Tucson projects are at the end of this current RTA, and there may or may not be money to complete them at this point. They also seem to take longer than was projected, and I think that had to do with our economy more than anything else. But thanks for your constructive idea.
All right, here is Jim Nintzel.
Yeah, let me ask you about housing in Tucson. Obviously, housing values are skyrocketing. The rents are going up as well. Is there something the city can do to help alleviate those increases so that first-time homebuyers have an easier time purchasing a home, or people have an easier time just paying the rent?
I wish there was a simple solution. My understanding is our hands are tied by state legislation. Some cities have rent controls, and when rents are going up this high, that seems appropriate to me at some level, but we can't do that. One thing that we can do is that we own property and we have houses and we can rent them, and we could do more of that. I'd like to also see the city be a little more assertive about vacant houses. In my neighborhood, there's several houses that have been vacant for years, and it seems that there's a great need for housing, and we have vacant houses that are kind of an eyesore in our neighborhood. Let's see what we can do about those. Perhaps working with landlords to provide some sort of incentives to keep, this is a half-baked idea at this point. Again, I'm a newbie, but it's an issue that needs to be addressed. There's a whole other separate issue of affordable housing that the city can definitely be involved in, and there's a strong program in the 85705 in Ward 3, you know, the Thrive in the 05, where they've done some preliminary work to get federal money to do a lot more affordable housing.
And what did you make of the council's decision to approve these ADUs, these accessory dwelling units that are, some folks are saying, hey, it's a great way for families to maybe allow their family members to live in a guest house on their property. But others are saying, hey, this is a boon for people who want to have a Airbnb and make some side money.
Yeah, well, the devil are in the details. And the neighborhoods that I represent around the university and Steve Kosicek are the ones that are going to be most negatively impacted by this if the details aren't paid attention to, that the Airbnbs and the mini dorms, that's where the most money is to be made with housing around the university. And I understand the city is going to take another look and maybe adjust some of those details. What we want to do is prevent someone being able to build a unit that's bigger than the unit they already have on the property. And so you are almost changing the zoning when things like that happens. And you want to have those sort of new construction not impact the neighbors. And so there's some details that need to be done. In general, ADUs are great. We used to call them mother-in-law cottages because that's where the mother-in-law lived. in my case, I have one. I have a converted garage, and it's been my son's when he got to high school and was ready to rebel and go away. Well, we put him in the mother-in-law cottage, and it worked out well.
I think there's probably a lot of parents who would love to have their kids live in the garage once they hit high school.
Out in the back, right? You are currently the Arizona Senior Program Manager for the National Parks Conservation Association. Will you be leaving that position so you can devote full-time to this council office?
Yes, I'm transitioning out. I've been on part-time since the summer. And the end of January is my retirement date. Let's use this as a job announcement. It's been the best job in the world, working to protect and defend and advocate for and educate people about the national parks in Arizona, like Saguaro, Grand Canyon, Petrified Forest. So anybody who's interested in that, contact me.
Yeah. And when you were with us about in that role before you had announced for council, you were here in studio. I think Tim Steller was our guest reporter at the time. We talked about the border. This was before the Biden administration and what was going on with the border wall. Can you quickly give us an update?
Yeah, well, from my perspective, the concern is the border wall that was built at Organ Pipe Cactus National Monument and also Coronado National Memorial. It's dividing habitats. It's creating an eyesore. The plans were to keep it lit at night, all night, which certainly interferes with not just star viewing, but with the migration of bats and other animals. It confuses them. The destruction of habitat where the wall was built was pretty concerning. And at Organ Pipe, it was done. The federal government exempted itself from most federal laws that are applied to federal projects. And so it was done hastily, poorly. It's not a very effective wall. And
is it up? Is
at it? Organ Pipe, it's been completed. Yeah. Yeah, and there it transfers sacred sites, burial sites, and an important spring. We saw in the paper that there's a court proceedings now on a Tohonato woman who protested and was arrested because she just thought it was an outrage to her.
What about other border wall construction? Has it come to a halt?
I understand in a few places they're kind of putting finishing touches on things. And, they've also caused a lot of destruction where we'd love to see construction crews come back and make sure the roads aren't eroding and put things in order. But so it's not clear whether Biden's promise to stop wall construction is completely stopped. But in Arizona, it pretty much is.
Jim Nitzel, it seems like the council's got a mess on its hands, and you know what I'm talking about with the passage of the minimum wage initiative.
I guess we'll see if there's a legal challenge
right.
To some of the provisions. But, you know, I think the $15 minimum wage is something a lot of folks would say, hey, that's great. I think that the larger concerns were some of the provisions within it. And I'm kind of interested in your thoughts on it, Kevin, with the new city department and the ability for people to file complaints and the requirements that, you know, everyone besides babysitters who might work for a person would have to pay, you know, $15 an hour.
You know, I just think it's unconscionable that people don't make a living wage at any job. Maybe teenage babysitters exempted, or someone who's mowing your lawn who's the neighborhood kid. So I completely supported that initiative. If there's problems in its implementation, you know, the courts may be involved, and there is a provision in it to severe parts that are considered illegal or unconstitutional. So there may be some changes that happen to the court. I hope it encourages Pima County to follow suit, and I hope it encourages everywhere to make a serious minimum wage. The arguments against it, to me, don't hold water, because if everybody has to pay it, then there's no competitive advantage. If you can't do a business without paying people poorly, you shouldn't be in that business. You should try something else. And I have heard concerns from some business owners, some people who run restaurants, with some of the provisions, and I hope those get worked out.
Any final thoughts, Jim? We're quickly running out of time.
Well, I wanted to, you know, talk about economic development. Ward mm-hmm. 3 is such a, you know, there's a lot of poverty.
Yes.
In Ward 3, and as is elsewhere in the city. I don't want to single out Ward 3 or anything, but do you have any one big idea about improving economic development in Ward 3?
Yeah, we need to do more for small businesses and locally owned businesses. You know, when I was with Native Seed Search and Tucson Audubon, we raised money by basically running businesses, a gift shop at Tucson Audubon, a seed business at Native Seed Search. And so I've been in charge of small businesses, and we get more bang from our buck supporting small businesses, and it's iffy when we invest a lot of money in trying to attract businesses that we have to bribe to come here, and we don't get the taxes. So the other half of this is we need to work from our natural advantages. We have a university. We have Pima College. Let's see what resources in creating new businesses out of those institutions, and I'd really like to support that sort of innovative business in Tucson, locally grown.
Jim, I could take one more.
One more?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of rain this summer, a lot of weeds out there.
Yeah.
What's the city going to do about taking care of these overgrown patches throughout our city?
Well, that's great. We need to grow more of our landscape on rainwater and stormwater, and this is a great example of that. It works. 27% of our potable water goes to growing outdoor plants in Tucson. And as water becomes, it is precious, we need to switch that. And so we need to design to have not weeds, but plants that we like growing from that water. And Dunbar Springs, the neighborhood with Brad Lancaster, has pioneered ways of doing that. That's part of combating climate change. Cool vegetative areas grown on stormwater and rainwater are much more pleasant places to be.
All right, Kevin Dahl, stay cool as you get ready to be sworn in about a month, early in December. Democrat Kevin Dahl will be the newest member of the Tucson City Council. Kevin, good to see you. Congratulations. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you both.
All right, Jim Nintzel sticks around. We'll talk with Jim for a few minutes. It's Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. We try every Friday to bring in a newsmaker, and we had one today for sure, because it's Kevin Dull, who was just elected to the Tucson City Council. Jim Ninsel is here, the senior editor of the Tucson Weekly. And Jim, Kevin brought up Mr. Huckleberry's unfortunate accident, and we all wish Mr. Huckleberry and his family well. Very serious at the time was listed as critical injury, and rightly so from what we know. It was pretty bad head injury for Mr. Huckleberry. And Kevin brought up, you know, he'd like to see more dedicated bike lanes, but realistically, that's probably not going to happen. It might just be a good idea to do what you do when you go bicycling. You try to stay on the Huckleberry Loop.
You know, it is super challenging. And, you know, bicyclists have every right
to share
the road with drivers. There's no dispute about that. And, you know, more power to them. Many of my friends ride bikes. And, you know, I think the challenge is you have so many distracted drivers out there who are, you know, checking their phones or changing the radio station or eating or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And it just takes an instant of someone behind you not paying attention, and your quality of life could be ruined for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So, you know, and dedicated bike lanes, I love the idea, but is there the right way to do it? And is there the money to do it? And I think that those are two major hurdles in developing that on most of our streets. I mean, we do have like a third street, you know, that's dedicated to bicyclists, and that's great. It's wonderful to have that corridor. And we do have the loop, obviously, where you don't have to interact with the vehicles. But it's just challenging out there if you're a bicyclist.
And Mr. Dahl, Councilman-elect Dahl, and the rest of his colleagues are going to have to, I don't know. I think it's a crisis with the police the staffing levels. I just don't, you know, I see billboards, Jim, about a block from the radio station. Come to Albuquerque and work for the Albuquerque PD. I saw the billboard.
That for the first time this weekend.
Yeah, so
because I never get out of the house anymore because of COVID, yeah, but I happen to be out.
So the recruiting is going on, right?
Right, and they're obviously trying to put the idea in the heads of our own police officers who may be frustrated by their pay or maybe frustrated by a vaccine mandate.
The COVID
and that, you know, here's your chance
mandate.
To
sure.
Go move over to our neighboring state and make some more money. I think they have wages like posted on those billboards.
I think they do have starting wage at, right? Let's take a quick call on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. We have a listener who would like to talk about bicyclists. Go ahead.
Yes, my comment is that you talk about the bicycle safety, and every day at Mountain and Limberlost, you see the bicyclists ride right through the stop sign like they don't care. Maybe they should respect the laws also like the cars have to.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, there are certainly bicyclists that ride poorly in town. You see them riding the wrong way down the road or, you know, whatever. I mean, not every bicyclist is perfect. Not every driver is perfect. We're all human beings out there. And I think there's fault to be found on both sides. But I do certainly believe the bicyclists have the same rights as drivers. It's just I don't have the personal courage to be out there riding along that white line right next to a big old car.
Kind of interesting, these new numbers about registration in Pima County with both parties, Jim, losing, both the Republicans and Democrats lost in registered voters. The big increase is independents.
Yeah, and I think I think people are frustrated regarding political parties, and they feel like, oh, a pox on both your houses. But I think a lot of those independents still are, if you're a former Republican, you're probably going to end up voting Republican. If you're a former Democrat, you're probably still going to end up voting Democrat at the end of the day. But we also are seeing some shifts in that. And I think that's going to be one of the most interesting questions of 2022, because you're going to see two conflicting political theories come up against each other. One is that in the midterm elections, the party in the White House loses seats. The other is going to be if you go too far to one side or the other, you are no longer competitive in a general election. And I think the Republicans are going pretty far onto actual delusional thinking about whether this election was stolen and things of that nature. And, you know, we'll see how it all plays out in a year from now.
The Virginia gubernatorial race will be used, I think, as a blueprint for many perhaps so-called moderate, if they're moderate, kind of middle-of-the-road Republicans. Are they still around?
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah, that will be the question. And then I'm thinking about Juan Siscomani, who was my guest a week or so ago, and Juan hopes to be the CD2 Republican standard bearer. But some might say, well, maybe Juan isn't enough in the Trump camp.
And that's going to be the voters in whatever the new congressional district looks like and who else gets into that race. And we'll see how
the primary.
Those lines are going to look like. And there's a lot left. The primaries are the key. I mean, you see Carrie Lake pretty much running away at this point with the gubernatorial and clearly she has no qualms about expressing her support for Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, so we saw that the nominee and the winner, eventual winner in Virginia, kind of walked a fine line when it came to Trump.
He did. He didn't.
He
kind of.
He would say he liked his policies. Didn't he? Was very careful not to kind of be all in.
And Trump did not travel there to campaign on his behalf. And, you know, they pulled out a narrow victory there. And, you know, I think a lot of that, you know, one of the big things that he campaigned on was this whole concern about so-called critical race theory, this whole notion that kids are being told that their oppressors are oppressed in schools. And I honestly don't think there's a whole lot of that going on in schools, but I also don't think Democrats can ignore the fact that a lot of voters are responding to that issue. And, you know, we saw that really almost be birthed here in Pima County over at the Mexican American Studies program in Tucson Unified School District. And we're really seeing that issue grow nationwide now.
All right. We have Governor Ducey and Brnovich saying they'll fight the vaccination rules for the private firms. That kicks in if you've got more than 100 employees. That kicks in about 2 months. And so Ducey and Brnovich going all in to fight that. What's Ducey's future, real quickly?
You know, if the rumor has always been that he's not really interested in a U.S. Senate seat, but
right.
that he really has his eye on the White House.
Mm.
And that's that, you know, whether or not that's still his ambition and what the Republican field would look like when he has an opportunity to run for it remains to be seen. We don't know if Trump's going to throw his hat in 2024. And we don't know if, you know, so 2028 might be an opportunity.
All right, Jim Nintzel, always a pleasure. We will look for you and your colleagues, what they've been producing over at the Tucson Weekly and Inside Tucson Business and your other publications in your portfolio.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be here, Bill. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks a lot. Jim Nintzel from the Tucson Weekly. We will pause right here. And Inside Tucson Business, speaking of, the food and beverage columnist, his work also appears in the Weekly as well, right, Jim?
Their papers, in fact.
Yeah, so Matt Russell has his footprint in some of your publications.
Matt's great, and we're so happy to have him.
All right, we'll pause right here. Buckmaster on a Friday.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
What do you say we stir it up? That means it is time for the weekend on the Weekend Watch, and that leads us into Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It'd be a great time to jump in the car, jump in the truck, take about a three-hour drive over to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, and do some outdoor activities like visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument and doing some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness with temperatures in the upper 60s, low 70s, overnight lows around 40. Can you beat that? That is perfect autumn weather over in Silver City. Check it out at southwestnewmexico.org. The longtime host of Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show is the famed award-winning columnist and Inside Tucson business food and beverage writer, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I've got the Bob Marley moves going right now. let's just say I'm thankful that this is not on video. It's just an audio call. So, but I'm shaking it now. I'm stirring it up, Bill.
Yeah, and that Bob Marley T-shirt from 1972. Ethiopia and all of that on the T-shirt. Okay, let's get into the festivals. And this is, of course, the season of festivals in Southern Arizona. The weather's perfect.
Yeah, it is, and this is a fun one. You know, for more than 30 years, the Tucson Celtic Festival and Scottish Highland Games has provided kind of a gathering place for those interested in Celtic culture, and the annual event runs this entire weekend at the Rialto Racetrack. So it starts tonight at 5 o'clock with Viking Night, featuring live performances by Celtic-inspired bands, and the party continues Saturday and Sunday with Highland Games and music and dance, literature, and of course the kinds of food that will satisfy even a Viking hunger like mine. Bring your horn, your kilt, and your beard to Rialto Racetrack this weekend to immerse yourself in Celtic culture.
How about a big steak tonight?
Yeah, you know, from a culinary perspective, I think fall is the most delicious season of the year, and this is apparent this weekend at the PY Steakhouse at Casino del Sol. They're going to be rolling out their new fall menu, just sort of bursting with seasonal flavors and local ingredients. Here's a couple of teases. Tagliatelle with braised duck leg and squash. Bill, there's also a butternut risotto with a lavender brandy mascarpone. A total of 13 new items anchor this seasonal menu, which, of course, continues to showcase, as you called it, some of the finest prime steaks you can sink your teeth into, like my favorite, the 26-ounce whiskey-rubbed prime ribeye. Check out this menu at PY Steakhouse.
You will not go home hungry after that one, I'll tell you that. The All Souls Day party underway at Hotel Congress very soon.
Absolutely. You know, the All Souls procession weekend activities today, tomorrow, and Sunday, but the procession itself starts at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And what would an All Souls procession be without a dedicated pregame? Hotel Congress downtown has the answer with their All Souls Day party starting at 2 p.m. on Sunday, face painting, live music on the plaza, plus a Congress cookout with the hotel's own Plaza Eats food truck with great food and specialty drinks to prepare you for the procession. But please remember to process responsibly on Sunday evening.
And quickly, in the column this week?
Hockey and Hops, an event next weekend that pairs local beer and the fastest game on ice. It's a true power play for the palate. It's in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
Thank you, Matt. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of our program. Our thanks to everyone here at Bustos Media Tucson, including Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program. Have a great weekend, everybody.